Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, April 15th. The red flag bill will become law. Governor Jared Polis has signed a bill that will allow police to temporarily take guns away from people who pose a risk to themselves or others. KVNF's Scott Franz reports.
There were cheers and hugs in the governor's office after Polis approved the Extreme Risk Protection Order bill. He predicts it will prevent gun violence.
We may be saving the life of your nephew, your niece, or your grandchild who's 19 or 20 and suffering from a mental health crisis. We might also prevent shootings of additional deputies or even mass shootings.
Several people who have lost friends or family members to gun violence were at the signing ceremony. All Republican lawmakers voted against the measure, and some sheriffs in the state say they won't enforce it. The law takes effect next year. I'm Scott Franz at the state capitol.
Governor Jared Polis has signed a bill that will open more police records to the public. House Bill 1119 requires police departments to release the results of internal investigations looking into possible wrongdoing by officers. Democratic Representative James Coleman sponsored the bill.
I think for communities and police departments, it's going to restore some trust that I think folks feel like may have been lost, because by doing this, we're able to have more transparency with law enforcement. We're able to get an internal investigation report, full report, not just a summary.
The new law only applies to completed investigations. It also lets police agencies redact some information, such as the names of witnesses. Coloradans could save on prescription medicines if Colorado lawmakers approve Senate Bill 005. Eric Galatis has the story.
Colorado lawmakers are considering a measure that would help consumers cut their prescription drug costs by allowing them to buy the same medicine from Canada at prices far below those charged in the U.S. According to AARP, the median annual income for Medicare beneficiaries is $26,000, and people with chronic conditions pay more than $13,000 a year out of pocket for medicine. Shirley Lowe, a former vice president with AVI Biopharma, supports Senate Bill 5.
Rising drug costs are posing challenges to many seniors in America who have to make choices between buying food, paying their utility bills, or affording their medications.
Lowe notes that in Canada, blood pressure medicine sells for a third of its U.S. price tag, and the costs for insulin are 90% lower. AARP has launched a national campaign to stop drug companies from what it sees as price gouging. Drug companies have long argued that high profit margins are necessary for research and development, and say those investments have led to significant innovations. SB 5 has cleared the Colorado Senate and is set to be heard in the House Health and Human Services Committee on Wednesday. A recent AARP poll found more than 70% of likely voters age 50 and older are concerned about drug costs, and 90% say Congress should reverse rules banning Medicare from negotiating for lower prices. Lowe says Big Pharma spends far more on advertising than it costs to develop new drugs.
It only amounts to less than 20% of their overall budget, and so the marketing and advertising costs well exceed anything that goes to R&D.
AARP's campaign also calls for giving state attorneys general the authority to crack down on large price increases and closing loopholes that keep lower-cost generic drugs off the market. In 2015, Medicare beneficiaries spent $27 billion in out-of-pocket drug costs. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
State lawmakers have given final approval to a $30.5 billion budget package for next fiscal year. Scott Franz has more.
Democrats are calling it a budget for all. It includes $175 million to pay for full-day kindergarten. And thanks to a bipartisan deal, it includes $300 million for transportation, which is $70 million more than originally planned. The budget earned bipartisan support in the Senate. In the House, only one Republican joined all the Democrats to approve it. But there's still more work to be done. Governor Jared Polis still needs to sign it. And lawmakers need to pass bills to spend some of the money on kindergarten and transportation. I'm Scott Franz at the state capitol.
Last week, we heard about the Colorado River Agreement that seven states have signed to deal with low water levels in Lakes Mead and Powell. Now, we'll hear from Jamie Sudler and Franny Halpern at H2O Radio. They tell us that the agreement does little to address aridification in the Colorado River Basin.
Congress passed and sent to the president a bill approving an agreement among the seven Colorado River Basin states. For now, the measure delays the federal government from imposing mandatory reductions in river allocations if Lake Mead, the largest reservoir on the system, falls below a certain level.
But even with the necessary federal approval of the interstate agreement, planning for aridification or drying in the Colorado River Basin is far from finished.
By 2026, the seven states will have to address one of the main problems on the river called the structural deficit, a bureaucratic term that describes how the lower basin states use more water than they're allocated.
At a conference recently in Phoenix, Pat Mulroy, the former general manager of the Southern Nevada Water Authority, called the drought contingency plan merely a band-aid. She warned that more water for Arizona, Nevada, and California, the lower basin states, will have to be found.
Also, work needs to be done in each state. In Colorado, for example, the state Water Conservation Board is just beginning the process of deciding how water will be conserved and who might have to lose it so that the state can meet its obligation as the basin experiences more dryness.
So while there were momentary sighs of relief after Congress approved the agreement, the Colorado River Basin still faces many problems in managing and preserving one of the country's most iconic natural resources.
And finally today, Montrose Mayor Dave Bowman is going to Washington, D.C. According to the Montrose Daily Press, Bowman will be discussing the Opportunity Zone Tax Incentive Program, known as the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. It emphasizes workforce education, public infrastructure, and the attraction and retention of investors and new entrepreneurs. The meeting will be at the White House in the Eisenhower Executive Office Building. Two cabinet members and officials from the federal government will join state and local leaders at the meeting on Wednesday, April 17th. The Opportunity Zone program encourages investment in economically distressed communities across the nation that otherwise would not be able to get the money. And that was your KVNF Regional Newscast for Monday, April 15th. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.